Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
I want to thank
Christian God is the one and only true living God, the creator of heaven and the universe.
I agree, Jesus Christ is the Lord. I believe in that.
Both as an American and as a Christian, I am going to stand with Israel.
Their theology, in part, is disregarding their Christian brothers and sisters. I met some of these Palestinian Christians and got to know them. They're delightful people, and they feel totally overlooked by their Christian brothers and sisters in the U.S.
Honestly, I think 30 years from now, it's the marriage redefiners who are going to look like knuckleheads.
And Derek, the tea guy from Seward, Nebraska, who drives his truck through Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and I rock Issues, etc. the whole way.
Could it really be that simple in a world that appears to be religiously so complex? We have, well, nowadays, almost as many religious viewpoints as there are people on the planet. Some agree, few truly agree completely. Even among Christians, there's a lot of disagreement. But could it be that with Buddhists and Sikhs and Hindus and Muslims and atheists and agnostics and you name whatever other religion you want to name, versus Christianity, it really just comes down to two basic beliefs, two basic viewpoints, Christianity and all the rest? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the first half hour of the program, we'll be talking with Pastor Mark Jasa about Christianity and all other religions. A little bit later in the second hour of the program, it's Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris. She'll be joining us. We'll talk about women who are freezing their embryos at an early age so that they can access them at a later age after they've made their money and bought their house and found Mr. Right and all of those kinds of things. Some people would say it's just good insurance for the future. Putting first things first, career before family. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris has to say about that. Also in the second hour of the program, some audio open lines. There's a New Jersey church that's allowing attendees to remove money from the offering plate. In fact, they required every attendee to take an envelope out of the offering plate. It had a 10, a 20, or a 50 in it, and they were supposed to go and make the world a better place. We'll see what you think about that during audio open lines in the second hour of the program. By the way, you can react already in advance, leave questions or comments at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc, for audio open lines in the second hour of the program. In the end of the second hour, we'll be talking with Dr. Nathan Jastrom. The Dead Sea Scrolls are available to anyone online. We'll find out what these documents are and why it's of great value to scholars up to this point, and now to the general public. Will they be visible? Will they be useful to the general public? Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet @issuesetc. Or I mentioned before, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Mark Jasa is pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in Los Angeles. Pastor Jasa made a presentation at a recent Higher Things Youth Conference titled Two Religions. Mark, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Some would say that to simplify it to that point, Christianity versus all other religions, period, is not only simplistic, but kind of arrogant of Christians. How do you respond?
Well, I think the first thing, I think there are two questions here. One is this distinction an arbitrary distinction? And the distinction is free versus not free. And I don't think it's arbitrary. I think it goes to the core of what do we need. Jesus is actually declaring to have provided the very thing that we need to be rescued from death, to be forgiven from our sins. And having said that, then all the other religions in the world, none of them are declaring this. None of them are giving it away for free by their own documents, by their own voice. They're not claiming to give it away for free. I mean, I can give you some examples of this if you'd like to hear some.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and this is key. You're saying this is not a characterization that Christians lay on these other religions, but this is,
right,
in fact, what these other religions say of themselves. Give us some examples.
Right. Okay, so, you know, we have Jesus on the one hand, you know, we have Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. That's, you know, John, cousin John, points to him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." All sins of all people are just gone because of what Jesus has done. But in the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi, chapter 25, verse 23, it says, "We know that it is by grace that we are saved after all that we can do." So it sounds good at first, but then there's the punchline, you know, okay, you've got to do all you can do. So the question is, have you done all you can do? And Islam, you know, no Muslim is claiming that Muhammad's giving anything away for free. In the Quran, Surah number 5, verse 9, says, "To those who believe and do the deeds of righteousness, Allah has promised forgiveness and a great reward." So, and then there's another one that goes along with that, another surah. I think this one is my favorite. It's Surah 24, chapter 24, verse 24, and it says, "On that day, when their tongues, their hands, and their feet bear witness against them as to their actions, on that day Allah will pay them back all their just dues, for Allah is the very truth who makes all things known." So Allah knows everything you've done, and He's going to pay you back. I've got a couple more here. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, according to Buddhism, the very last words of Siddhartha Gautama were, "Behold, O monks, this is my last advice. Work hard to gain your own salvation." So this is a, you know, in all of these cases, we're agreeing with them. We're agreeing, hey, that's what you guys are claiming, but Jesus is claiming the opposite. You know, and some of these are very clear. I think I like Buddhism and I like Islam because they're so honest. But, you know, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses try to make it sound free. Like, here's the Jehovah's Witness quotation. And this is from the Watchtower, August 15th, 1952. It says, "None of us are in a position to earn God's gifts, least of all to earn the gift of life. But we can show ourselves worthy of the gift of eternal life by dedicating ourselves to Jehovah and then proving faithful to that dedication." There was a time when a Jehovah's Witness came up to me and he said, "So are you worthy of the gift?" And I said, "No, not at all." And he was just shocked because he was expecting me to come back with some sort of, "Well, I'm trying real hard," or "I'm doing my best." And when I didn't, you know, he was kind of left speechless. And so I guess the first point is that we're agreeing with what they're saying. And then this is practical advice, because you can immediately take this advice, you can take this idea and ask any Jehovah's Witness, any Mormon, any Muslim, what's going to happen to you when you die? And they don't know. They can't give you any kind of concrete answer. So, you know, for instance, for a Jehovah's Witness, you know, say, "Is it possible that you're going to be annihilated instead of going to the new earth?" And they'll if they're honest, they'll have to admit yes. You know, Buddhists don't know. You know, Muslims certainly don't know if they're going to go to hell or not. In fact, a lot of them think they're at least going to spend some time in hell. Mormons are a little bit different. I do take the Mormons to Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, and read that with them and see, okay, have you done all that the law requires? And usually they'll say no, so then I'll say, okay, so then are you a goat? And they say, well, maybe. Okay, well, what happens to the goats? Because the goats, and I say to them, look, the goats go to eternal fire. Now, I'm not sure what exactly that is, but it doesn't sound good.
So is this why, I mean, not to get off on a tangent, but is this why Christianity itself is often so misunderstood, not only by those outside but also inside? If the basic framework of every other religious system is, in the end, it's really up to you, it isn't free, there is no free salvation, if there is salvation at all. Do you think that with that general mindset, that's why so many inside and outside Christianity sometimes misunderstand it to be just that, another works-based, you earn it kind of a religion?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I actually give another lecture called Is This the Gospel? And all I'm doing is taking quotes from local pastors here in Southern California, and I'm saying, okay, listen to this. Is this the gospel? Recently, I gave a Declare and Defend seminar at a local place here for a bunch of non-Lutherans, and they continuously asked, well, but don't we have to do this? Don't we got to do this? We got to obey. We got to make a decision. We got to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. We got to do all this stuff. And so it's basically, the thought is, God can't really be that good. I mean, we're trying to find where God's going to trip me up. We know it can't be that easy. Jesus can't really just be paying for everybody's sins. It can't be that simple. And so we're trying to find the hidden problem in there, where God really is going to get us in the end.
Pastor Mark Jase is our guest. We're talking about Christianity and all other religions. We'll be right back. That's me in the spotlight. Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming, Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana, Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Mark Jase is our guest, pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in Los Angeles. He made a presentation recently at a Higher Things Youth Conference titled Two Religions. We're talking about Christianity and all other religions. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 27th of September, and we are coming to you live. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, for those sticking around in the second hour for audio open lines, when we talk about that church that is letting, well, actually, on one Sunday, asking that everyone in attendance take money out of the offering plate rather than put it in. Well, they did. They put it in. And then they passed another plate asking everyone to take the money out. They say it's to make the world a better place. We'll play a little of the CNN story for you in the second hour and then get your reaction to that New Jersey church. Facebook.com/issuesetc. All right. Another thing occurs to me here, Mark, and that is most of those quotes that you had, be it Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, whatever it may be, all had some kind of a concept of grace. Oh, you can't earn it, or salvation is by grace alone, after all you do. But doesn't that after all you do essentially render their concept of grace, whatever it is, completely hollow, completely and utterly empty?
Yes, and in fact, I think the quote Christian community, American Christianity, is even better at doing this than the cults. Well,
how do you mean?
Just in listening to your radio program, you had something that said something about it's not about you, it's about Jesus, or something like that.
It's about Jesus for you, yes.
Right, right. Well, here I've got a quote from a local pastor, and I'd be happy to send you the audio, but it says, this pastor has Jesus saying, salvation's not about you. It's about me and you sacrificing yourself to follow me. So isn't that interesting? He takes a slogan similar to yours, and then he makes it 180 degrees from what yours means. He puts the work back on you. He tells you it's not about you, and then he tells you it's about you doing it.
It's even more about you than it was before.
Right. There's another pastor here in Southern California who says that after 20 years of studying the rich young ruler, he figured out what it's about. It's about it's difficult to get into heaven. And then as you hear him talking, he says, yes, it's near impossible to get into heaven. I thought it was very interesting. He slid the word near into the sentence and completely changes the meaning of the text. And this is a guy who's just loved by UCLA students.
So you're in that room of people you mentioned before the break, Christians.
Yes.
And you're making your presentation, is this the gospel? And they're asking you again and again and again, but the pastor... there has to be something I have to do. It cannot be sheer grace. It cannot be completely free. I at least have to assent or
right.
agree or offer something or make my best effort, whatever it may be. Is their concept of grace as hollow as that of the Jehovah's Witness, at least in that moment or in that statement, or the Mormons?
Yeah, I do think it's really dangerous, and that's why we have to be really clear about, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. The thing about that is, if I believe that Jesus, if I believe in Jesus, it means I believe Jesus paid for my sins. If I believe Jesus paid for my sins, it means I believe I'm a sinner. So it's not as though you can believe Jesus is your Savior and not believe you're a sinner. We're not saying that at all. And of course, so repentance is in there already. You know, repentance is this. Jesus says you're a sinner, and you say, you're right. Faith is, you know, Jesus says, I'm your Savior, and you say, you're right. Christianity is utterly simple. The gospel is simple. So, you know, I mean, of course, there's a great complexity to the Bible, but the message itself, the good news, is very simple.
What is in, I mean, in effect, what is done to the saving work of Jesus, to that simple statement, Jesus paid the price for my sins, if a footnote is added that requires something or anything of
right,
or of me?
We qualify it to death. We're always asking, have I repented enough? Have I made a decision enough? Have I kept my decision? Have I been faithful? Have I? And whenever we're looking to ourselves, the answer is no, you haven't. And so I'm trying to direct people to the cross. You know, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Look at Jesus and ask, did he die enough? Whenever we doubt our salvation, we're doubting the value of Christ's death. We're somehow thinking that our sin is greater than his death.
You say that when properly understood this way, that it is Christianity as salvation totally free for Christ's sake, versus all other religions or even ideas of Christianity that are not free, that are kind of earn it as you go. You say
This
is Jesus turning religion on its head.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
Absolutely. So, yeah, all religions are about a sinful man trying to climb up to ascend to some divine plane. They're about us clawing our way up, whereas Christ, the sinless, the perfect one, Christ the God, the man, he comes down to earth to rescue us and bring us up to him. So it's just the opposite direction of action. By the way, a little bit on how faith comes by hearing. A Muslim girl came up to me and she said, I'm afraid Allah is going to judge me. And so my response to her is, don't worry about judgment. Jesus was judged in your place, period. So that's how we get to freely declare, because the Lamb of God has in fact taken away the sins of the world, and all we're doing is declaring that fact to people. So the truth of the gospel actually makes evangelism very simple.
Does this also explain, you mentioned before, how if you were to ask a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or whatever it may be, mm-hmm. and they were honest in their response,
right.
in the question, what do you think is going to happen to you after you die, or is it possible that you might go to hell, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word,
right?
They cannot honestly say they're sure that they won't. Is this also why many Christians are just honestly not quite sure?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, every day Christians come up to us and they have no idea if they're saved. Their pastors aren't declaring salvation to them. They're not declaring, Paul, if we look at the way Paul speaks, Paul doesn't say, maybe you could be saved. He says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. He calls people citizens of heaven now. He speaks of a present salvation. This is what has been done for you. This is who you are. So I think that pastors just are unwilling to give it away for free and declare their parishioners to be children of heaven.
Here's the slippery part with a few minutes before we take our next break, Pastor Jasa. It is, and I think you've dealt with it in part, but I want to kind of pull it out explicitly. If you wake up, say, Rick Warren,
mm-hmm.
of Saddleback Church out there in California, you wake him up at 3 o'clock in the morning out of a dead sleep, and you say, Rick, do you believe that you were saved solely because of what Jesus did?
Mm-hmm.
You and I may disagree on this, but I think Rick Warren's going to say, yes, solely because of what Jesus did. But, man, you listen to that guy preach,
mm-hmm.
and you don't hear that. You don't hear what he would say if you woke him up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, there are tons of Christians who, when I speak to them and really get at the gospel and get them to tell me what the gospel is, they will certainly say, yes, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. But then to hear them proclaim to someone who hasn't heard or doesn't believe or has questions, they're trying to get them to jump through hoops. They're trying to see. I want to see the fruit. I want to see the commitment. You know, I want to see the change in your life. We're not content just to say, "Look, your sins are paid for." I was talking to this guy on campus, and I told him, "Your sins are forgiven." And he said, "I don't need my sins forgiven." I said, "Too late. Jesus already paid for them. Too late. Done." And then he started crying. And then to justify why he's crying, he's like, "Well, no one ever said it to me like that." So I think the thing is that the good news is proclaimed, and faith is created when the good news is proclaimed.
We're talking with Pastor Mark Jaysa. He's pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in Los Angeles. Made a presentation recently at a Higher Things Youth Conference titled Two Religions. We're talking about Christianity and contrasting it with all other religions. It's Tuesday afternoon, September the 27th. I invite your questions and your comments. He'll be with us for a bit on the other side of the break. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog. Exchange recipes or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
New Hampshire took action to end taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. It's joined 9 other states, also taking steps to curtail or end using tax dollars to fund this abortion industry giant. Congress attempted but failed to defund them on the federal level. Momentum is building across the nation, but the pro-abortion Obama administration is pushing back. After New Hampshire ended funding, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announced they'd bypass elected state officials and fund Planned Parenthood directly, even though it's against the will of the people. The Obama administration also threatened to take away millions in federal funding for Indiana because they also axed tax dollars for Planned Parenthood. This is raw, pro-abortion arrogance.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back. A few more minutes with Pastor Mark Jaysa, talking about Christianity and all other religions on this Tuesday afternoon. In Minnesota, Brady is waiting on the line. Brady, thanks for waiting.
Yes, thank you. I had a question for Pastor Jaysa. Kind of put a little meat on the bones here with this discussion of talking about being saved by grace alone. Obviously, as a Lutheran, I agree with that. But two things, like, what does he have a story that really flushes this out when he told this to a Christian and they just were absolutely flabbergasted at it? I don't know, just kind of the conversation, how that went, and also what do we fear as Christians about? If you just say you're saved by grace and Jesus died for you, what do we fear by saying, but what else? Those are my questions.
Thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Minnesota. Pastor Jaysa.
Let me first just start with an atheist, how he left my conversation. He looked at me and he's like, wow, no one's ever told me that before. He's like, I don't believe, but you got me. That's like, so he walked away kind of in shock, thinking that this was something completely, you know, foreign to him. But as far as the Christian thing, a kid walks up to me and he said, I used to go to such and such church, a church I knew, and he said, and you're wrong. Salvation isn't free. And so I said, he's a self-proclaimed atheist now. And so he comes up to me and says, it's not free. There's something you got to do. And so I said, okay, who did Jesus die for? And he said, okay, everybody. And I said, so how many sins did he pay for? And then he said, all of them. So I said, okay, so which of your sins aren't forgiven? And then he gave me the classic answer, oh. So, and then a girl comes up to him and says, I didn't realize you were a Christian. And he looks at me and he says, neither did I. So there's a guy who just had never heard it just explicitly spelled out for him. You know, it had always been kind of implied or in some way qualified. And when you just speak unqualified forgiveness, it either makes people really happy or really angry. A Hindu girl comes up to me and says, Christianity is irresponsible because it lets bad people off the hook. And my response is, well, you understand it. So, yeah. Brady, could you, did I answer your first part? And then what's, if I did, then what's the second part?
The second question that he had is, what are we afraid of with just leaving it at sheer grace?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we are afraid people are going to go and be bad. So you can just go and do anything you want. I tell atheists, hey, if you want to mess with Christians, you ask them this question. So Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Shall we sin more so that grace may increase? And every Christian knows the answer. Heck no, not never. You know, it's a double negative. No, it's a real extra no. But turn it around. If we do sin more, will God's grace increase? And the Christian is just stunned and can't answer, you know, because they know that if you say that they can, that it's already paid for, then people will go and be bad. But if you don't say yes, then you've got them cornered and you can show them that it's not free. So Christians have a lot of trouble answering this. And we want people to be good. We want them to get better.
But isn't that really turning, if it is always Jesus did everything but, or Jesus did everything
right,
and now you, isn't that really just turning Jesus into a means to an end? He's not really the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author. We're the finisher.
Right, right. And that's why it's so good to, like, that 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 passage, that's why I like it so much, where Paul is going back and forth between, this is who you are already, period. And now, based on your identity, go into the world and do good works. You know, Colossians, the whole book of Colossians goes back and forth between who you are and what you do now as a citizen of God, as a child of God, citizen of heaven. Forgive how? As you have already been forgiven. The forgiveness is already yours, and now I'm saying, hey, you get to go share this with others. So there's joy in service. You know, Jesus died for you. Why? For the joy set before him. He saw you on the other side of the cross, and nothing was going to get in the way of that joy. So, you know, we get this complaint from Muslims all the time. Muslims say Christianity would never work because it's free. It can't work because there's no motivation to be good. And so, again, they've correctly understood the nature of free, They get it. Christians don't get it, but the Muslims get it. The Jehovah's Witnesses get it, but the Christians themselves don't get how crazy and outrageous it is. I mean, it makes people mad. That's why I like this Hindu girl, because the Hindu girl responded in one of the two ways that the gospel, you know, if you've really heard the gospel, it either makes you angry or thrilled.
You say that this is really about demonstrating that Jesus is unique, not just Christianity. What do you mean?
Right, right. People ask me about Christianity, and I say, look, I'm not here to talk about Christianity. I'm here to point you to Jesus. I'm not even here to talk about Lutheranism. I'm not here to, you know, no one cares what a Lutheran is here at UCLA, and no one really knows what a Christian is. So I'm not going to really use the word Lutheran or Christian here. So I tell people, look, when I'm working with atheists, Muslims, and Buddhists, and whatever, I'm just like, all I'm doing is pointing you to Jesus. What did he say? Who is he? What has he done for you?
And you say that apologetically, while this doesn't prove that Christianity is true vis-a-vis other religions, it does set Christianity completely apart from them. Talk about that briefly, if you
will. You know, when I was in college looking at Christianity and other religions, I didn't know what was true, but it did seem to me that, okay, here's this one guy that's claims to be serving, where none of these other religions are even claiming to do this. So it just seems logical to me to look into the one, the odd man out, you know. Why is this one different? I think we logically are always, we're on a course for a business model. We always think in terms of the business model. Am I productive? Am I pulling my weight? The way Paul says it in Romans 4:4, he talks about, to the man who works, his wages are not a gift, but an obligation. That's the way the world works. So when we see, you know, if you go to verse Romans 4:5, if you look at that, it says, to the man who does not work, but trusts the one who justifies the wicked, to him his faith is credited as righteousness. So though we're evil and do nothing, both we're both lazy and evil, he saves us anyway. I mean, this is a completely different paradigm. It's two paradigms. It's a business paradigm is the first one, and then the second one would kind of be a family paradigm. I remember asking my dad, is there anything I could do to make you not be my dad anymore? Like, go to jail, kill someone, you know, no matter what I did. And he said, no, I would always love you. And I said, well, doesn't my Father in heaven love me even more than you do? So I thought he found that to be particularly powerful.
With only about a minute here, what I hear, a theme I hear running through everything you've said so far, is a strong tone of objectivity versus this hopeless, ultimately self-centered, self-searching subjectivity. Is that a good
right.
way of thinking about it?
Absolutely, yeah. We always are trying to look to see if we've repented enough, if we've abstained enough, if we have made a big enough commitment to Jesus. You know, we're always looking to ourselves rather than looking to the cross. We're always looking the wrong way. And so when people go to other churches to hear other sermons, I'm always asking them, is the pastor pointing you to yourself for your salvation, or is he pointing you to Christ for your salvation? Where is he pointing you?
With only about 30 seconds, how do you respond to someone who says, I'm sure you've heard this before, that this Jesus did it all and what he has done suffices for me, even the worst of sinners, is just too good to be true? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, I suppose it is too good to be true, but it is true. If someone is asking if it's true, we could go to a historical argument, but if someone is broken by the law, I think they're just going to run to it and cling to it. I'm an evil man, and I have no choice but to trust that Jesus has done it all for me.
Pastor Mark Jace is pastor of University Lutheran Chapel in Los Angeles. He made a presentation at a recent Higher Things Youth Conference titled Two Religions. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Well, thank you so much.
Folks, you'll find a link to Pastor Jace's blog under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we'll hear from you on the Issues Etc. comment line.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30. Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.